Well, the first part of January is one of my favorite times of the year. As the holidays wind down and we greet a new year, we come into a clean slate. Everything is fresh and new, and anything seems possible. Perhaps this is why so many of us make New Year's resolutions. How many of you made a New Year's resolution this year? Anyone? You are in good company. Around 60% of Americans make New Year's resolutions every year. So how's it going so far? Terrific. Good. Hopefully on this fifth day of January, it's going really well as you work towards your goal and you're still energized by it. But did you know, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news here, so I'm sorry, but did you know that only about 8% of us actually achieve our goals each year? Most people give up their resolutions by the second week of February. So perhaps it's not surprising that in a poll done just last week of over 250,000 Americans, the number one resolution for 2020 is to actually do my New Year's resolution. So we can start there. The other resolutions in the top 10 list for 2020 include trying something new, eating more of my favorite foods, going to the gym more, being happier, being healthier, and being a better person. What that says to me is that a lot of us approach the new year with goals of adding something into our lives to make ourselves better. We want to fix something that we feel is broken, or maybe it's lacking, or something that we perceive as wrong with us. So we set out in January to do more, to be more, to have more, 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 more. But by February, most of us have failed to actually do my New Year's resolution, and we simply end up with less all around, less peace, less purpose, less satisfaction, and less spiritual health. I trust our intentions are good. In our wanting to do, be, and have more, I trust that we genuinely and actually want is more healing and more wholeness. We want to feel complete and lead meaningful lives. But my fear is that the strategy of addition, adding more and more things, causes us to just end up more stressed and more fractured than we were before. Haunted by our seeming inability to add the right ingredients into our lives and then maintain that pace at an ever-increasing level. It's just never enough. So how about this? What if we tried a different approach this year? What if we tried subtraction rather than addition? Could saying no instead of saying yes at this time of year actually be the secret ingredient to becoming a better person? After all, as Warren Buffett defines it, integrity is the ability to say no. Well, if that's true, then maybe our lives could be richer, truer, and more meaningful if we set out at the beginning of the year prepared to say no instead of hanging on. Of course, this is not at all a new idea. Religious traditions and leaders around the world point to this notion of clearing the way, losing our attachments to the material world, saying no to anything that is not authentic, only to find that when we do, we don't lose anything at all in the process. Rather, we rediscover our true selves. For example, as Richard Rohr points out, both Jesus and Buddha point to an essential renouncing of the false self, a foundational death of the ego that is at the heart of the spiritual journey. Or how about this way? As Rachel Naomi Remen says in Kitchen Table Wisdom, wholeness is never lost. It is only forgotten. Integrity rarely means that we need to add something to ourselves. It is more an undoing than a doing, a freeing ourselves from beliefs we have about who we are and ways we have been persuaded to fix ourselves. Often, in reclaiming the freedom to be who we are, we remember some basic human quality. What we find is almost always a surprise, but it is familiar, like something we put in the back of a drawer long ago. There it is, your true self, something uniquely familiar and uniquely yours, which you may indeed have forgotten about in the back of a drawer somewhere, is waiting to be rediscovered. All that other junk in the drawer that's hiding this piece, that stuff is your false self. As we heard in the reading today by Richard Rohr, the false self or the ego is not necessarily bad, it's just not real. It is a construct which, yes, helps us get through the day, but it's not your true self. It is merely who you think you are. Rohr says, the false self, which we might also call the small self, is merely your launching pad, your appearance, your education, your job, your money, your success, and so on. It's all that stuff we layer onto ourselves to get by in the world, for good reason, sure. But the problem is, we too often think all this is the stuff that will lead us to peace, wholeness, and happiness. But as I'm sure you already know, more money, more stuff, more security, a better job, a better haircut, or anything else you can think of to add into your life won't do that. It will add another layer to the false self. It will decorate the mask we wear, which hides our truth and core identity. It is really hard to break out of this cycle. In the course of a lifetime, we can easily learn to over-identify with the false self, the masks we wear. We like the way they look, how they make us appear to others. We get comfortable with them, and we allow the fact that we're wearing them to let us run on autopilot, tuning out, simply getting through each day by force of habit, reacting to things for reasons we remain unconscious of, staying comfortable, falling asleep to reality, and forgetting our deeper truth. So I got to thinking this week about the attachments that are hardest for me to let go of, and I wonder if you would be willing to do the same this morning and think about that for a moment. What attachments hold the tightest grip on your life? Is it your career identity, your list of successes or accomplishments maybe, your beauty, your desire to be more beautiful, your money, your desire to have more money, your reputation? Which of society's lies is the hardest for you to shake off? You are what you have. You are what you do. You're only as good as you look. You are what other people say or think you are. All that stuff, all those lies. Which is hardest to shake off? Which mask are you most attached to? Which aspect of the false self gets you to over-identify with your ego at the expense of your true self? Which of the masks you wear lulls you to sleep and sends you sleepwalking through life, unconscious of what you're doing and why you're doing it? Knowing the answers to these questions is one of the first steps to uncovering your true self. You have to address them in order to find the long-lost truth waiting for you in the back of your forgotten drawer. You have to wake up. Engage the journey of personal growth with a real commitment to self-reflection and self-knowledge. So this year, let's start with observation. Simply observe yourself more closely. When you suspect you are on autopilot and unconsciously absorbed in doing things the way you always do them or feeling things the way you always do, just take a step back and create a little bit of space. Create some space for yourself to observe your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions. Reflect on what you're doing and why you're doing it, what you are feeling and why you are feeling it, and get curious about yourself. The more self-knowledge you have, the more you will be able to make conscious choices and change your behavior. This is not easy work. I haven't done it particularly well. I won't claim that I have. I don't know more about it than anybody else, because it is the work of a lifetime, the work of all of our lifetimes. And I think it's pretty inescapable, because every single person builds up a false self and puts on these masks to survive, sure. And that works for a while, but as Rohr says, they show their limitations when they stay around too long. If people keep growing, their various false selves usually die in exposure to greater light. That is, if they even let greater light get in. Many do not. So in 2020, beloveds, I hope you will let the light in. Your true self, your soul, your deepest identity, the real you, is there waiting to be rediscovered, already present, already fully enough, already blessed, and already whole. You're not lacking. You don't need to add a bunch of stuff into your life to be true. You only need to get really clear on which masks you wear and why, and then prepare to bravely let them go. It takes time to build up this kind of self-awareness. It takes courage and grit, for the road will be difficult, and it will always be easier to turn back and cling to what you know and what feels comfortable. But I believe in time, you may just find that you can indeed open yourself to the light. And on that day, you will watch your false self dissolve into divine love and oneness with the holy and all of creation. For as James Baldwin says, love takes off masks that we fear we cannot live without, but that we know we cannot live within. So let's see if we can do some of that this year. Let's see if we can let go of all that which is not true to your core self. Let's see if we can take off the masks that hold us back and keep us down. Let's see if we can open up the deepest part of ourselves to the light and let it transform us. In closing, I'd like to leave you with these words from the Reverend Scott Taylor. He says this, "You can remove it now, that mask handed to you by the world. You can stop repeating, 'I'm fine, I'm fine,' when all your heart wants to say is, 'I hurt.' You can forget those hoops. Let someone else jump through them for a change. Here, the thriving can stop. The pretending can be put away. Here, for just a moment, let us be real. May this be so. Amen, and blessed be."